AccuWeather forecast says going to be mainly cloudy, chance for some afternoon snow, maybe changing over to light rain and or freezing rain tonight. High today around 27. The Burlington Area School Board is meeting at 7:30 tonight. It's at the district offices on North Pine Street. The agenda includes discussion about the facility survey that was recently completed, which could lead toward a referendum. Now, the survey focused on whether 92-year-old Karcher Middle School, the one-time high school for the district, should be renovated for current and future needs or replaced. Also being considered, infrastructure projects district-wide, as well as creation of a single-site Montessori program and expanding course offerings for 5th and 6th graders. A vote favoring a referendum by January 21st would allow it to be placed onto the April ballot. 69% of the 1,400 survey respondents, the taxpayers, they supported at least asking the question. Racine Unified's poor performance on the most recent round of state-mandated standardized tests played a significant role in the recent school board deliberations over extension of Superintendent Lollyhouse's contract, closed-door talks resulting in a 6-3 open session vote last month for one more year. Speaking with our partners at Gateway Public Radio, Dr. Hawes said that given the test results, she requested just a one-year extension.
I know the board was taken aback by the report card results, and they, and rightfully so, I'm accountable for that. And they were deeply questioning what happened with the state report card results. And despite the fact, as I said, I'm confident that we will work our way out of this very quickly. I also said, if you're starting to feel like, the superintendent's ownership of that is has been disappointing, then why don't you consider 1 year? So I'll be here one more year and fix this and be very proud of many things that have happened in the 5 years that I'll have been at Racine Unified.
The standardized test was conducted in the spring of last year. Racine Unified scored the worst of the state's 5 metro areas. Dr. Hawes accepting the responsibility for directing the schools to focus their attention on another set of tests that measure student growth, calling that a mistake. A passerby called the Kenosha County Emergency Dispatch Center just before 1 o'clock this morning to report a barn on the Gitzlaff Farm site along Highway H in Summers appearing to be on fire. It turned out to be just smoldering from the remnants of a devastating fire Friday night into Saturday morning, which destroyed several buildings. The main structure was a barn loaded with hay along the highway, reduced to a pile of rubble. A milking parlor and a tractor nearby also destroyed. One side of a silo, obviously charred. Damage from that fire, currently estimated at $800,000. The lack of hydrants and the bitter cold at the time resulted in a mutual aid call, crews and equipment from Racine, Kenosha counties, Northeast Illinois, coming in to help. And ticket prices, those are pretty steep right now for anybody from Southeast Wisconsin wanting to go or planning to go to AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas to see Sunday's Cowboys-Packers playoff game. The broker down there is Ticket IQ. Says the average price for a single ticket is $720. That is the highest they say they have seen for a game in the divisional rounds. Some seats in the stadium, called Jerry's World after Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, running as high as $3,000. The Mount Pleasant Village Board is meeting at 6 o'clock tonight at the Village Hall. It begins with a closed session on potential litigation surrounding the proposed senior campus at Campbell Woods. Later on in the meeting, an open session, it'll be the conditional use for that project, which the Plan Commission denied. Also on the agenda tonight, consideration of a special assessment ordinance that grew out of the Highway V waterline controversy. City of Racine residents who live on border streets with the village of Mount Pleasant need to pay attention this spring. That street, if it's deemed to be in need, could be targeted for 2018 resurfacing or reconstruction, when the belief was that the two sides could never come to any kind of an agreement to do something together. One specifically is Indiana Street, north of Taylor Avenue to Maryland Avenue. Half is the village, the east side is the city. It's on the list, which means city residents will be getting a notice in the mail, and they can voice an opinion, yes or no, to the project. The Public Works Committee, when the time comes, and if there is no reaction from affected property owners to them, they'll consider that silence to be support for the project. Public hearings are going to be held on all of the proposed street work at City Hall, but letters and emails can also be sent to the Public Works Department, as well as to aldermen in the districts where the streets are located. The recent arrest and issuance of assault-related charges against a Kenosha police officer, as well as misconduct in public office for an alleged personal incident that happened while on duty New Year's Day, prompting one alderman to seek that officer's immediate termination from the force. Chief Daniel Muskinis contacted by 8th District Alderman Kevin Matheson. He urged a recommendation to the Police and Fire Commission at their meeting on January 17th to dismiss Officer Kendall West. A press release from Matheson says that West had been arrested back in 2004 prior to being hired by KPD, though it does not say for what. West is on paid administrative leave. Alderman Matheson believes, though, a swift termination, in his words, is in order. West alleged to have punched a man outside of a hospital over a relationship with his estranged wife. Holidays are officially over. Everybody's back to business when it comes to municipal governments in the Kenosha-Racine area. The Racine Finance and Personnel Committee is meeting at 5 o'clock this afternoon at City Hall. That gathering includes consideration of a $5,000 Real Racine grant toward return of the Gus Macher basketball tournament to the lakefront this summer. The Racine Redevelopment Authority, during its 5:15 p.m. meeting at City Hall, scheduled to get an update on the Ajax building in the 1500 block of Clark Street, still targeted for veterans housing, but with a new developer. And there's a closed session of the group on the building at 615 Marquette Street. It's listed as receive and file a presentation regarding a pre-development agreement between the RDA and General Capital Group Development. Racine Unified School Board meeting at 6 o'clock tonight, Building 1 of the Administrative Services Campus on Mount Pleasant Street. It's a work session, so no decisions are going to be made, but the agenda does include the 2017-18 budget cycle with a very early financial forecast and spending proposal. Also discussions scheduled on the recently concluded middle school survey. It's never a good time to have a water problem inside your building, and especially in the winter. But that's what happened just after midnight on the southwest side of Racine as a Mount Pleasant police officer reported water coming out of 2225 South Green Bay Road in the High Ridge Center strip mall that's between the Kmart and the old Office Max space. The officer said there was water pouring out of the ceiling inside. City Fire Department got there and to break a door to get inside and then had to shut off the main water supply. Efforts to contact somebody for the mall's ownership proving futile. Just a few days after word came out that the Kmart store on South Green Bay Road was going to be closing in a few months, some big crowds appeared Sunday for the start of a sell-down on merchandise. In fact, long lines of customers at the registers at different points of the day, fraying nerves on occasion and with the long waits. Stores among dozens nationwide that Sears Holdings announced last week would be closing. And the Miss Racine pageant was held over the weekend, but it also included the Miss Southern Lakes pageant, held at the same time at Preservation Hall, the former Women's Club building at 740 Lake Avenue. When the night was over, Miss Racine 2016 Haley Shanter gave up her crown to Bryn Winslerl, a student at UW Parkside. The other title, Miss Southern Lakes, that went to Elise Elmblatt. She won the Miss Racine pageant back in 2013. Both will be advancing to their respective state competitions this summer. A very interesting time in state and national government for Democrats on the heels of the November election and the stunning changes in leadership for the Republican Party. On WRJN's Community Conversations, we're seeing Representative Corey Mason, Democrat, said there's still a job that has to be done for constituents, though there's also the much different focus these days with attention on that, plus you got the legislative aspect of the job.
I mean, I always say the job is sort of two things. It's the job of being a legislator, and it's the job of being a representative, right? So when you're home, you're in the district, you meet with people, you hear their concerns, you help them navigate through state government. But when you're up there, it's your job to be the legislator. And sometimes that means being the voice of dissent on big issues and providing a different narrative that hopefully more voters will get behind.
Mason said that the amazing thing about our democracy is that every 2 years, we get a reset on this.
If people don't like what leadership is doing, they can vote them out of office. If they think I'm out of line with it, they can vote me out of office. They're less likely to because my district's been gerrymandered to be much safer for me than it was before redistricting. So it's less of a fair fight, but you at least have that possibility.
Mason mentioning the court ruling on redistricting and the gerrymandering term used, leaving him to say, I think Republicans are in a real pickle here.
Because if they accede to what the lower court has said and just fix the maps, then it really only affects Wisconsin. If they risk it and run it up to the U.S. Supreme Court and it becomes a national standard, then people have said it's somewhere between 16 and 17 states that might have to redraw the map, including some Democratic ones. Apparently Maryland, which is heavily Democratic, is guilty of some of these behaviors as well.
And Mason said the court's looking at the redrawn districts and another proposal that's coming to have nonpartisan districts created. That's all about fairness to the voters.
Is it really fair, and are we disenfranchising people's votes by cutting these districts in such a way where it's not about dealing with changes in population the way the Constitution requires us to every 10 years, but really rigging the system so that one side wins as many seats as possible despite how voters across the state are behaving.
Meanwhile, Mason adds that when we get to one-party rule, the temptation is to abuse power. That comes into play, and he says we've certainly seen that in redistricting. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.